Begin the current Daf Masechta Yevamah, Daf Samach Beis. Begin on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous Daf. That is, the Mishnah said that a person should never stop attempting to fulfill the mitzvah of Piv Rivra, unless if the person already has fulfilled the mitzvah by having children, to which the Mishnah accorded a machlekes between Bishami and Bishil, what is their fulfillment? Bishami, as recorded in our Mishnah, says two males, and Bishil says a male and a female, a boy and a girl. So the Gemara explains that according from the Mishnah, Bishami, or Mishnah is Zachar, you have to have two boys. So the Gemara asks, my time, I have the Bishami. What's the reason of Bishami? What's their source that you see that the fulfillment of Piv Rivra is having two sons? So the Gemara says, Yafim and Moshe, we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chsiv, it says, a pasuk b'nei Moshe Gershom Eliezer, that the sons of Moshe were Gershom and Eliezer. And we see that once he had those two sons, then he removed himself from his wife, and he didn't cohabit anymore to have children. So you see that that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Ubisil, what's their source that it's a zachar and the keva? So Yafina Mibriyasa Shalaylam, as said in our Mishnah, they learn that from the creation of the world, where Hashem made Adam and Chava. So you see that's the fulfillment of filling the world by having a zachar and the keva. So the Gemara says, from why does Bishamay learn from the creation of the world too that we see Hashem made a male and female, and therefore we do the same to have a male and female? That the Gemara says, Bishamay hold that ain't done in Efshar. You cannot derive something that's possible, and continue to talk about Samach Mishi'i Efshar, for something that's not possible. In other words, had Hashem not created Chava, the way the world was meant to run, then there wouldn't have been another female. And therefore he had to, so to speak, make a female with the male. But here, where a father and a mother have two sons, so there's many females in the world to procreate, to create the union, to have more children. And therefore, it's not a proof from there where there was no other females, but if there are, as it is in current times, therefore one fulfills it even with two males. Now, the Gemara asks, Ubeisil nami lilfei b'Moshe. Why doesn't Beisil learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, where we see that after two sons, he stopped and they didn't continue with Moshe Rabbeinu, fulfills the whole Torah, and they didn't attempt to have a female too? So Amalach Beisil would tell you that you can't bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe mi died to Huda, but Moshe Rabbeinu did something on his own, and that's because of, for a different reason, of the divine presence. And it's forbidden for somebody to try to mimic Moshe Rabbeinu, because actually a person has to fulfill it with a female and a male. They tell me, we're not braisa. Shleisha devarim asa Moshe mi died to. There are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did from his own understanding. V'hiskimo died to das hamokim, and his understanding actually agreed and worked out with what Hashem's intentions were. And the three things are Pirish Meneisha, he separated himself from his wife. Second one is Veshiba Haluchis, he broke the two tablets, the two Luchis when he came down by the first time. Vaisivimecha, and he added another day, and that is before Shavuos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'kidash Mayim Emacher, prepare the Jewish people today and tomorrow, which is only 2 days. And he told the Jewish people, hey, you should be prepared for 3 days. So he added on another day to Hashem. So the Gemara explains these three things. The first one being what Beisil is saying, why you can't learn out from Moshe. Pirish min isha maidarsh. What did Moshe Rabbeinu expound to realize that he should remove himself from his wife, whereas Beisil is saying it's more than just separating from his wife, it's that he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah Piv Rivra, which according to Beisil is a zachar in the cave, and they only had two zachar. So that's because Moshe Rabbeinu had a different cheshbon, different calculation. Amar, he said as follows. He says, "Ma Yisrael shlo dibri mam shchina ela lefi shah." If I find the Jewish people, where the divine presence only spoke to them for a limited time, it was just that one time by the revelation at Har Sinai, v'kavol hem zman, and still there was a, and not only was it a temporary thing, it was within a certain time frame. They knew when the shchina was going to come. And yet, Amr Tayyah, still the Torah tells in Shemais, Al Tikshu Al Isha, don't come close to the woman. You have to have a time period of separation, not to be impure. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ani, so me, Shemi Yuchil Adibir B'chal Shah B'chal, where I'm designated to have the divine presence speak to me at any time, not just a slot in history. Moreover, like Kavali Zman, Hashem didn't tell me when it's going to be that I should have notice before and to separate a day before. Isn't it a kavochemer that for sure I cannot be with a wife and have to separate because, as we find there, where it was momentarily and it was a certain time when you knew and they had to separate, for sure he has to separate. And the Gemara tells us that he actually tapped into the same das, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says the pasuk in Devarim that Hashem told to Moshe, Leich Amalem, go tell the Jewish people, Shuv lechem lo lechem, now after the giving of the Torah, go back to your tents, which is a reference, a euphemism, to their wives. But va'ata poi amoyrimode, you stay here together with me, which Hashem was telling him, you don't go back to your wife. And therefore, Beisilah says, you can't bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in the sense of this was something that he understood on his own, that he cannot be with his wife to fulfill that mitzvah because of his meeting with the Divine Presence. Now, the second thing that he did on his own das was Shibras HaLuchas. He broke the Luchas. So the Gemara's question is, my Darsh, what did he expound? Where did he find this understanding to realize that he has to break the Luchas? So Amar, he made the following logical conclusion. He says, Ama Pesach, if regarding the eating the Karban Pesach, Shu Echad Mishesh Meis B'Shleish Esrei Mitzvahs, only one of the 613 commandments. Yet Amar, the Torah tells us, Kol Ben Necher Lo Yechel Boy, anyone that's estranged from his father in heaven, cannot consume from the Karban Pesach. Now, so he said, HaTorah Kula, if here we're talking about the entire Torah, which is what was represented here in the Aseret HaDibros in the Tuluches, the Yisrael Mumarim, and the Jewish people are rebellious, they are doing Avodah Zarah with the golden calf, Halachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so they can't go ahead and do this, the 630 commandments, they can't do even one of them, as we find with the Karban Pesach, all the more so the whole Torah, and therefore he broke it, they're not eligible for these mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us, V'skima Daitel Dasamokim, and this agreed to what Hashem had wanted. Like it says, the pasuk in Shemais, that Hashem told him regarding the luchas asher shebarta that you have broken. Now, Amar Shlakish interpreted this word that Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. What Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe was that the word asher is related to the word yishar. Yishar koychacha shebarta. May your might be strengthened that you have broken it. Hashem was thanking him that he broke it, that it was right. Just like you see by Pesach, which is only 1/613, all the more so all of them, in this day, the Jewish people cannot receive the Torah. Now, the third one was, Hoysev Yemechad Midaitai. He added on another day, Hashem told him to prepare the Jewish people 2 days, he prepared them for 3 days. So, when I asked my Darsh, what did he expound? So, like it says in the Pasuk, Hashem told him, Bikidashtim Ayemim Acher, that to sanctify the Jewish people today and tomorrow. Now, he expounded, Hayoyim Kemacher. There seems to be an equation between today and tomorrow. Now, just like tomorrow, the night is included in that, because that has yet to come. So that will be a full 24-hour period of night and day. So he interpreted, what does it mean today? Also has to be Leila Yimei, the night with it. Now, the problem is, when Hashem was speaking to him, the Leila de Idna Nafikle, he was speaking to him during the daytime, and the night had already gone by in history. So he inferred from there that it had to be 2 days except for this day. Now the Gemara tells us, and we see that Hashem agreed to this, that the Divine Presence did not rest in Har Sinai until Shabbos. That is, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells in the Pevav Med Aleph, that when Hashem had told him this, he told him this on Wednesday. Now, which he was telling him essentially, that they should be separated for Wednesday and Thursday, which would sound like that Matan Torah should be on a Friday. Now, however, Moshe Rabbeinu separated them for not only for that Wednesday, but for the full Thursday and Friday. And when did the Divine Presence come? On Shabbos, according to all opinions, whether Shavuos is Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan, it happened on Shabbos, which was 3 days of full days from when Hashem had told it to him. And that's because the first day wasn't counted of Wednesday, because it didn't have the night with him. So although he told him today and tomorrow meant the following day when you'll have the night before, which was Thursday and Friday, and then the Shechinah came to give the Torah on Shabbos. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion from the previous daf from our Mishnah regarding the mitzvah of peer review of having children, procreation, about what is the fulfillment of that. Now, in our Mishnah, it was quoted as B'Shamai saying two Zacharim, two males, two sons, and B'Shamai said a Zachar and a Keva. Now, the Gemara will quote two different versions of Reb Nosson in this Machlekes. Tanya in the Braisa, Reb Nosson Oimer, he says, Beishamay Oimer, Shnei Zacharim V'Shtei Nekevas. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is two sons and two daughters. B'Shamay Oimer, Zachar and Nekevas, B'Shamay say, a male and a female. So the Gemara asks, Omer Avhuna, my time with Reb Nosson, I live with B'Shamay. We already gave interpretations for B'Shamay B'Shamay the way it's quoted in our Mishnah, but what's the understanding of Reb Nosson's version of B'Shamay that you need to have two sons and two daughters? So it like says the pasuk in Bereishis, says that Vatesiv Loledes, that Chava continued giving birth, not only to our first son of Cain, but es ochiv es hevel, his brother, that of hevel. Now, as Rashi says, the words es Cain, es hevel, what's this es? S is always what's called a ribuy. It comes to include something else. Meaning to say that not only were they born, but because how were they getting married? Who, there's no women out there to get married to, that with them were born of a woman to a female counterpart. Now, what you see from that is you have Hevel v'achayse and Kain v'achayse. So she had, Chava had given birth to two sons and two daughters. Now, Uchsev, that wouldn't be approved. That's just maybe what happened. But it says a pasuk, after Kain had killed Hevel, it says, Kishas li elikim zera acher, tachas Hevel, that Chava said that she was calling him Shais because from the cognate of Shas, that Hashem went and planted in me another child, another seed, in place of my son Hevel, who had died, Karoga Kain, because Kain had killed him. Now what we see from her testimonial, that she was saying that I needed to make up that loss, obviously that it's not enough. She would not have fulfilled her mitzvah of Perivra had she not had two sons and two daughters. And that's why she was thanking Hashem to say that because I had to make up that loss. And that's the source for Nosson's version of Bishamai. Now, Rabbana, and those who argue and say that it's not a raya, is because they do a hu dekomaydis. All she was thanking Hashem, but not necessarily that was saying that she needed to have it. She was just thankful because she had a child she lost. Now she got another child in place of that, but that's not a raya, that a proof that one has to have two sons and two daughters. Now, Tanya, you've learned a different braisa, that Reb Nosson Eimer, and this is, as Rashi tells us, that there's machlekes tanoim in what Reb Nosson was saying, because here we have a different version of Reb Nosson. He says, Beishame Aimrim Zach in the Keva, which is actually Beis Hillel's opinion in our Mishnah, or just one daughter and one son is necessary. Beis Hillel Aimrim Oy Zach in the Keva. No, you don't even need two children. All you need is either a boy or a girl. So the Gemara asks, I'm a Rava, my time with Reb Nosson, leave with the Beis Hillel. What's the reason of Reb Nosson in this version, according to Beis Hillel, that all you need is either a Zach or in the Keva, and is all the sources we brought up until now seem to indicate that either you learn from the creation of the world that you need to have Zach and the Keva, or from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is at least two Zacharim, what's the source that all you need is one child? Shemaka says the pasuk in Yeshaya, says, Leisaihu v'raham. Hashem did not make his world to be desolate and empty. Rather, L'shev v'sitzara, he created it for it to be settled, that he wants people to work, that it should be a settled world. He wants people to come in. He created a beautiful world. Now he wants the so to speak, the guests to come and fill up the world. Na'vah avad L'shev v'sitzara. By having one child, one has fulfilled, he has contributed to this Shevis Yitzhar, and therefore it's enough. So you have either a boy or a girl, you've already fulfilled, according to this version of Reb Nosson in Beis Hillel, the mitzvah Piri Ribim. Now the Gemara brings a related discussion, a machlokes regarding this mitzvah Piri Ribim. Itmar, we learn, Hayulevanim beyesu evit kechavim v'nisgayir. If someone had children while he was a non-Jew, then he converted to Judaism. So we have a machlokes. V'yechen amar kain Piri Ribim, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of having children, you know, even when he was non-Jewish, but he fulfilled that mitzvah. Beresh Lakish, Amalai Kain Piri Ribi, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah Piri Ribi, as the Gemara explains the Machlekes. Beyechlam a Kain Piri Ribi, because Doha Havala, he has children. Now, although he wasn't Jewish at that time, but he did it, and therefore he has fulfilled it. Beresh Lakish, Amalai Kain Piri Ribi, the reason is, because Geshen is Garek, a country now, we know there's a halachic dictum that says regarding someone that converts to Judaism, that he's like a born child, and therefore he's not related to those people. Those were a different person, and therefore he has yet to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Ribi. Now the Gemara tells us, V'azla Tamayu, this is a machlekes that they've had once before in a different area. Like we learned, their machlekes in Mesechtas Bechayrus says, Hoyulebanim b'yaisi oivdi kechav miniskar. Same situation. Someone had children while he was a non-Jew and then he converted. So in a different context, they have a machlekes, Rabbi Yechin Amar, says, Ein lo b'char l'nachlam. Now that he's Jewish, that he was Megayir, became a convert, he's not going to have the halacha that the Torah tells you that the firstborn son gets a double portion. The reason is, the first of his might, meaning his first seed that was planted into a child, he already had when he was non-Jew. And therefore the new child, although when he was Jewish, he started a new life over, but it can't be the Bechar because he already had a Bechar. Again, the same idea that having a child while being non-Jewish is already a fulfillment of having children. He says, no, yesh lebechal nachlo, that now that he converted to Judaism, he got married, the first child will be considered his bechar, because geshen is garek, kotin shenel dami, the child that he had then wasn't his child. He's like a born child, a new person when he becomes a convert. The Gemara tells it's tricha, but we had to have both these machlokes, in which, although it seems redundant, they're both saying the same idea, we had to say it in both contexts, one of the halacha of nachla and one for the fulfillment of the mitzvah piv yivra. The yashmina b'hikam ha'isa, had we only said in the first context of the mitzvah piv yivra, so we would have said, by hikam Rabbi Yechanan, only over there does Rabbi Yechanan say that his child that he had when he was a non-Jew is considered his child, mishum di mikara nami b'nei piv yivra, because even when he was what's called b'nei noyach, when he was a non-Jew, they're also in the category of Pirvirivya, as the Pasuk says in Bereishis Periktes, V'yemelem Pirvirivya, he told mankind, before there was any Jew walking the earth, which was Noach and his family, he says, be fruitful and multiply. So therefore, maybe over there he said, oh, so that was already a Pirvirivya, albeit as a non-Jew, but that was a fulfillment of Pirvirivya, and therefore that would be a fulfillment even as a Jew. But regarding this halacha of Bechor, where as a non-Jew, there is no halacha of Bechor. Meaning, as Rashi explains, although there is halacha of inheritance by non-Jews, as Gemara tells in Sechtes Kedushin Daf Yud Zayin, that non-Jews have a biblical halacha of inheriting their father, but there is no discrepancy regarding who the child is. It doesn't make a difference if it's a son or a daughter or a firstborn or a non-firstborn, where there are those differences regarding Jews. So regarding that context of Nachla, that doesn't apply as a non-Jew. To Eimah Moitli Rosh Lakish, we would say that the Rabbi Yechon would agree to Rosh Lakish that he didn't have this context beforehand, and therefore those children beforehand would not go ahead and interfere with Halacha Bechayr, that his firstborn as a ger would be considered his firstborn. That's why I have to say that too. Now, Vietnam Baha, had we only said Halacha regarding Yerusha, I would say the other way around. Baha Kam Rosh Lakish, maybe only over there does Rosh Lakish say that the child as a non-Jew is not considered a child. And that's because, as we said, there is no Nachla then. Abayhiba, regarding Pirvi Yivra, where they are B'nai Pirvi Yivra, even as B'nai Noyach, I would say he agrees to Rabbi Yechanan over there. So Tzvicha, that's what we have to say in both contexts, to say that they still argue and stick to their opinions in both contexts, that of Pirvi Yivra and that of the Halachas of Nachla. Now, regarding this machlekes, the Gemara says that Eisa Rabbi Yechanan Rosh Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan asked Rosh Lakish from a pasuk in Melachim based. Pasuk there says, Be'esa he at that time, Shalach b'roidach baladan ben baladan melech bavel v'goymer. And that is what we see from that pasuk is that this baladan, who is the son of baladan, so we see that even as non-Jews, their children are considered their children. So therefore, how can you say that when he becomes Jewish, that he has not fulfilled the mitzvah, Pirvi Yivra, oh, because he was non-Jew. There, what do you mean? You see that non-Jews, they also have the lineage of their children being attributed to them, that is a fulfillment of having children. So why shouldn't that work, even when he becomes Jewish? Samalei Rosh Lakish responds to Rabbi Yechon, he says, I agree that as a non-Jew, and that if he would still be a non-Jew, Islu Chayis, that there is Yichus, that there is this attribution of the child towards the father, that it's his children. But Nisgayru les luchayis. Problem is, for this halacha that I'm arguing on, is that when he converts, then he doesn't have any more relationship with those previous children because it's a cotton Chanel dummy. He's like a new person. So yes, as a non-Jew, it would be fulfillment. But once he becomes Jewish, he becomes a different person, so to speak. And that's why it won't be fulfillment for his mitzvah per year. It's like he never had children. Now, a related discussion, but Amarav Rav says, although we have a machlekes regarding this case of a ger, and however regarding when he's a non-Jew, everyone agrees that it is considered his children, but hakol moedim be'evet she'en l'chayis, but everyone agrees that regarding a slave, that there is no attribution, there is no lineage, it's not considered his child. So like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, Avram tells Eliezer Yishmael, Shvu lechem pai, stay, remain over here. This was in reference to Eliezer, who was the Eved, the slave of Avram. Im hachamar, stay here with the donkeys, me and Yitzchak, we're going to go perform the Akedah. Now, the drush of Im hachamar is Am hadayim lechamar. You, Eliezer, you're a people that are similar to donkeys. And just like donkeys, we don't attribute that to be their children. Maybe it came from this donkey, but it's not a child. And therefore, slaves are the same thing. Ein lamchayis, they're not considered the father. For whatever halachas that applies to fathers, doesn't apply for a slave to his father. Now, to which the Gemara asks Meisvei, we have a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says, Ulitziva, now Tziva was an Evet Kanani, he was a non-Jewish slave of Mephibosheth, that he had Chamisha Aser Banim, 15 sons, Ve'esem Avadim, and 20 slaves. So we see that an Evet Kanani, we see that an Evet, a slave, can have banim, can have sons. So we see that yeshlam chayis, there is a relation between father and child, even by nevet. So Amar Bachar B'Yaakov, he answers that no. It's kepar ben bakar. It's like a young bull, the child of a mature bull, where we call it in the Torah a ben bakar. Now, although it's using the term ben, son, but of course there's no halacha of child to father. It's just used to say who fathered it. And therefore, it's not a raya by the fact that it used the term banim. Then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, then if that's the case, that using the term banim is not approved, when hachinami, why did you say that everybody agrees, and even Rish Lakish had to capitulate on some level, that an Akum, a non-Jew, has yichus, because by Baladin, Ben Baladin, they used the term ben, but you just said that ben doesn't mean anything. It could be like an animal having a ben. Then the Gemara answers, no, Shani Hasam, there is different. Because the Achsinu Bishmayu Ubishma Davun. It's because when it doesn't just say that there was a child, it said the names. It said Baladun and his father Ben Baladun. And that's why we see that it was showing some type of a relationship between the two, which that's the yichus of a Ben. But Vahachal Mefarish, here it didn't say their names, and therefore it's just like Ben Bakr. It doesn't have any relationship of father to child. It's just he fathered sons, like an animal fathers sons. But there, where it said the names, that's showing that there is a yichus, there is a relationship, there is a father-child yechus that has a halachic status to that. Or the Gemara says, a different proof that there's yichus by Akum is because yechsinu beducht achrita. There's another place that there was lineage, but not just father and child, bavuin uva avadavuin. For father and grandfather, that most definitely is showing that there's no fathering from a grandfather to a grandchild. It must be saying that there is a relationship of a child and grandchild, which is like we're saying that there's an actual relationship, there's actual lineage connecting the two of them. So like it's pasuk in Malachim Aleph, says, Vayishlochem HaMelech Asa, that King Asa sent them, El Ben Hadad, which was his name, was Ben Tavrimoin Ben Chezion. So we're saying his father and his grandfather's name was Melech Aram HaYishab Damesek, the king of Aram that was settled in Damesek. Lamer is saying, and that is, therefore we see that there is a relationship which obviously applies to, let's say, forbidden relationships of ancestral relationships which Arayis are related to, by Akum, by Yisrael, there's considered Yachas, by Ger, we have that Machloikis, that regarding the mitzvah of Pirv Rivra and Nachla, but however, regarding an Eved, there's no yechus, there's no relation whatsoever. It's like, it's no problem about this person's, it's as if his sister, because it's not his father, it's just like an animal fathering a child. Now the Gemara continues regarding this halacha of Pirv Rivra, Itmar we learned, Ha'yilibanim v'mes. Let's say he fulfilled his quota, his mitzvah of Pirv Rivra, but then they died. So we have machlekes. Rav Huna Amar, he says, Kaim Pirv Rivra is fulfilled in mitzvah Pirv Rivra. B'yechon Amar, Loikaim didn't fulfill it, as the Gemara explains. Rav Huna Amar, Kaim has fulfilled it, Mishum de Rav Asi. In other words, that the reason of Pirv Rivra, he's going like Rav Huna, is like Rav Asi, who he says, what's the purpose of the mitzvah Pirv Rivra? The Amar Rav Asi, Ein Ben David Ba, because Mashiach, the son of David, cannot come, at Sheyichlu kol neshom ishabekuf, until all the souls in Guf, which Rashi and Avodah Zarah explains that there's some type of a storehouse, so to speak, in heaven, which is called Guf. Now, in the beginning of creation, all the souls that were ultimately going to be born were created at that time, and they were placed in this storehouse called Guf. Now, there's all these souls waiting to be put into bodies to be born. Now, Mashiach cannot come until all these souls come out. Shemek says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, says, as the beginning of the pasuk there says, the perek non zayin pasuk tazayin, it says, ki loy lo olam arva. Hashem says, not forever will I contend, v'loy lo netzach ektzai, but not forever will I be angered. And the reason is, ki rach, because there's going to be a spirit of redemption, mefana yatev, that's in front of me, that's being delayed. Now, v'goyim et cetera, as the pasuk there concludes, unishamas ani asisi, and that I make souls. That is, the reason why it's delaying is because all these souls have to be born and being put into bodies. And then, Hashem says, the end of this galus, the end of all these hardships will end with the coming of the Mashiach. Now, Rav Huna interprets the mitzvah Pirv Rivra like that. Now, since through this person, there were souls that were taken from this storehouse called Guf and put into bodies, so although they passed away, that's irrelevant for the purpose of the fulfillment of the mitzvah Pirv Rivra, which is at least to take a soul out and put into a body. Now, but Rabbi Yechonam Aloy Kam Rivra, he says that you have not fulfilled the mitzvah Pirv Rivra, and that's because, as the pasuk we quoted before, it tells us in Yeshaya, l'sheves yitzar bina, that we need to have that Hashem formed the world for it to be settled. V'holeka, and now that his child had died, the settling in the world is not happening because it's the continuation of mankind by procreating, and although he did it, but now he lost it by the child dying, and therefore that this person has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Pri Yibam. Now the Gemara has Meisvei, Gemara has Rav Huna's interpretation that one has fulfilled his mitzvah even with the fact that his child had died. Chas v'shalom, so B'ketan Talmud Beis says that the Brisa tells us that b'nei bonim harim kebon, that a person's sons, or grandchildren, are like a person's son themselves, like grandchildren. Now, the assumption of the Gemara's question is that if, let's say, someone has, let's say according to Beis Hill, that the halacha is that you have to have a boy and a girl, a son and a daughter, a male and a female. So if one of them died, now if that person that died had a son, which then could combine with his father's sister who's still alive, or with his mother's brother who's still alive, then it sounds like the Brice is saying that the B'nai Bonim are like the Bonim, and that the grandfather doesn't have to fulfill anymore the mitzvah of Pirvei Yibra. And the reason is because the child who had died had a child himself. Now, but it sounds like if not for that, that then you would not have fulfilled it because you need Sheves. You need to have at least two more people populating the world. Now that's difficult. According to Rav Huna, he said, what do you mean? What do you need B'nei Bonim and Kebonim? You have children. Even if they both die, you still have fulfilled your mitzvah. So why do you have to say that the grandchild will replace that child and take that place if that sounds like that because you have to have Sheves? I think my answer is that no. Ki Tanya hi, Rav Huna would explain that Brisa, Lahashlam. It was talking about to supplement, to complete. In other words, it's talking about actually that the grandfather only had one child. Now, then that son married a woman and had a daughter. That's what the Brisa is saying, that now the grandfather is exempt from the mitzvah Pirvei Yibra because he has fulfilled his obligation because now he has a son and a daughter, albeit that daughter is a granddaughter. But however, Rav Huna would say that if initially he had a male and a female, even if they both died without any children, he fulfilled his mitzvah of Pirvei Yibra. It's only talking about if he never even had, and then that's being supplemented with the grandchild. Now that the Gemara has, Meisvei, however, the Gemara quotes the Brisa that says, the first statement we said before, B'nei Bonim Rim Kebonim, but the Brisa continues and says, if Meis Echad Mehem, if one of them dies, Oishnim Tzu Sris, or he's found out that his male member, he's a Sris, that he cannot father any children, Loi Kaim Pirvei Yibra, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah Pirvei Yibra. And that the Gemara says, Tiyav Rav Huna, refutes Rav Huna, where we see that the purpose is that he could populate the world and propagate and have more children, where we see that if one of them dies, that you have not fulfilled the mitzvah Pirvei Yibra. And the Gemara says, Tiyav, that definitely is a refutation of Rav Huna's opinion, and it seems clearly that if someone, Loilena, has children, and that they die, that if he doesn't have the quota anymore, then he has not fulfilled the mitzvah Pirvei Yibra, and he still has to father more children, because the purpose is L'Sheves Yitzara, to populate the world, and therefore if one dies, L'Kayim Pirvei Yibra. Now, the Gemara quotes the Brisa that said, B'nei Bonim Rim Kebonim, that grandchildren are like children. Now, Sava Baila Bema, Abaye thought to say, that as we explained from this Brisa, where especially according to the conclusion of the Gemara, not like Rav Huna, that if one's children dies, then however, if that child, at least from one of them that died, has a child replacing him, well, that will be a fulfillment. So Abaye thought to say, that would only be if bra lebra, let's say a person had his quota of a male and a female. Now, the son died, but that son had a son. So that grandson will take the place of the son. Ubrat labrat, or a daughter for a daughter, and that is if, let's say, his daughter died. So if that daughter had a daughter, that daughter could fulfill, and with her uncle, be his male and female. Now, Vakoshkin, he thought, and most definitely would be bro labrata, that if, let's say, his daughter died, if his daughter had a son, that son could take the place of the daughter. Now, Tosfos says, although before we said that two males will not fulfill the mitzvah as a daughter and a son, but here Tosfos says that since the person has already fulfilled the mitzvah, he already had a boy and a girl, now it's just taking the place of that daughter, that for sure that to exempt that obligation that someone already fulfilled, a son could take the place of the daughter. Now, however, what Abaye thought was, of a brat to lebroloi. But if he had a son and a daughter, and his son died, and the son had a daughter, that wouldn't be a fulfillment, because now he's left with two girls, and that's not the fulfillment of what the mitzvah has to be. That Amalei Rava. Rava argued Abaye, and he says, L'Sheves Yitzar Binan, the Torah tells us that he has to populate the world. Bo'ikan, that he has, meaning you have to have a son and a daughter. Now, if one dies, so you could supplement that with a grandchild. Now, although you're being left with two girls, it doesn't make a difference. You're having still a quota of two people, and you did a male and female, therefore that would fulfill the mitzvah. Now, but one thing the Gemara tells us from this machloek is that the kule am mias, whether both according to Abaya and Rava, it seems like they both say that trei michad, to have two grandchildren from one child, and that is if, let's say, a person has two children, and the second one dies without any children, that would not be a fulfillment of the grandfather's chiv of peribriv. It's only if you have two, and one dies, and that one has a child, that will fulfill it together with the other child. But to have both of them from one, that will not be a fulfillment. And that the Gemara asks, Veloy, is that really true that will not be a fulfillment? But Va'amrile Rabban al-Rav Sheshes, Rabban said to Rav Sheshes, Nisiv Itza Va'ilib B'ni. What's going on? You have to fill your mitzvah of Pivri Yabra, marry a woman, and have a son. Va'amrile said to them, no, B'nei Brati, my daughter's sons, are B'nai Ninu, they're my sons. So you see that he's considering of only having one child, not that he had two children and that one died and then he fulfills it with the other one. He only had one child, a daughter, and yet he's saying that his daughter together with her sons will be the son and daughter that he needs to have. I think Maran says no. There he was just pushing them away with giving this type of an answer. And the reason is that wasn't the reason why he didn't get married and father his son. Because the Rav Sheshes I Akar Mi Pirkei Rav Huna. Actually, the reason why he wasn't getting married was because he became an Akar. And that is, he lost the capacity of having children because of Rav Huna's lectures that took a long time. And Rav Sheshes had to urinate Merikalayim. Now, but he held himself in because it was disrespectful to leave in the middle of the shir. And therefore he became an Akar, as the Gemara will explain later on, Daf Samach Dalma Beis. And this is as taught in the Braisa, Mesechtas Bechayres, where there the Braisa explains that there's a thin membrane that separates from the male member, the place where there's the urine and where there's the semen from the male. And therefore, if one holds it in, that could burst and that could destroy the capacity of having children. So that's the reason why he didn't father a child, but not really because that his daughter's sons were fulfillment, because one has to have both, and then if one dies, the other one could be fulfilled from that child's, if that one who died has a child, could fill in that quota, but not from having one child and then B'nai Banim filling that quota of the son and the daughter. Amalei Rabba L'Rabba Bar Mari, he says, Menoha Milsa, the Amr Rabbanon, B'nai Banim Rim Kebanim. This that we quoted from the Braisa, that the grandchildren can take the place of the children, where do we know this halacha from? Now, as Rashi explains, regarding the Ben B'nai, regarding if his son's son taking the place of his son, that is obvious to the Gemara. The question was regarding when his daughter who died with a son, that son could take her place, even though one of his two children died, that Ben Bito is like his bas. Where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, if you think it's from a pasuk in Bereish that says, where Laban tells Yaakov that you're running away from me, but you should just know, Habanas Benoisai, your daughters are my daughters, which is the case of bas Bito, and Vahabonim Bonai, and your sons are my sons, which is, that's Ben Bitoi. So you see from there, from Lavan's statement, that B'nai Bonim of even Ben Bitoi is Kebonim. And that Gemara says that can't be of the source. Because El Me'ata, then the other part of his statement where he says, Vatsoin Tsoinai, and your sheep are my sheep, Hachinami, what does that mean? How is it his sheep? He didn't father them. It's not, what does that mean? It's not his sheep that had the sheep. El dekonis minai. Rather, what do he mean when he says your sheep are my sheep? Meaning you got it from me. So hachanam dekonis minai. It means to say that your children you got through me, but not that it means that it's actually his grandchildren. That it's like as if his child, as if he fathered it. Say l'machar. Rather, the source would be from a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph, where it says that v'acher bo chetzron, and then later came chetzron el bas machar to the daughter of machar, who was Avi Gilad, the father of Gilad, v'teil lo esaguv, and she gave birth to him seguv. Now, Uchsiv, there's a pasuk in Shaiftim that adds to this story. It says, Mini Macher, that Macher says that from me, Yardu Mechaikikim, that the lawgivers came out. Now, it's not possible to say that was from his son's sons. Rather, it has to be from his daughter's sons. And the reason is because Uchsiv, it says a pasuk in Tehillim, that only Yehuda Mechaikiki, only from Shevet Yehuda do you have the lawgivers to have a Mechaikik. Now, therefore, it wouldn't be possible to have from Macher with a combination of having mechaikim come out only through Chetzrin, who he, as we quoted from the previous pasuk, married the daughter of Machir, who was from Shevet Menashe. So obviously we see that B'nai Bitoi, his daughter's children, which his son-in-law was from Shevet Yehuda, who could have Mechaikim, and he's saying that he had from his children Mechaikim, are considered like his children, which B'nai Bitoi are considered like Banim, and that's the source where we see that that would supplement his obligation for the mitzvah of Pirvei Rivei if his daughter died but had a son remaining, meaning that the daughter had a son that inherited her. Now, the Gemara tells us that Masnitin, our Mishnah, that said that it's only if someone doesn't have children, then he has to continue his striving to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirvei Rivei. But it said that if he has children, then Yivatel, then he doesn't have to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of Pirvei anymore, doesn't have to try to have more children. I think Gemara says that our Mishnah is the Lav Krib Yeshua. The time that Glenda Bryce, Yeshua Omer, he says, Nasa Adam Isha Bialdusa. If a person married a woman when he was younger, Yisa Isha Bizaknusa, he should still marry a woman when he's older. Hayulabanim Bialdusa, if he had children when he was younger, Yulabanim Bizaknusa, he should still have children when he's older. Not like our Mishnah, who said, if you have children, you don't have to have more children. Shemaika, he quotes a pasuk in Keheles that says, Babaker Zra Zarecha. In the morning, you should sow your seeds. Vola Erev, and in the evening, which is a reference to when the person gets older, Al Tanach Yodecha, do not hold back your hands, Ki Ein Chiyedeh Eze Yichshur, because you don't know which one will be the most fitting one. In other words, in the reference to the Mashal, you don't know which child is going to be the most God-fearing and most appropriate, and that will sustain. Hazeh Oizeh, will it be this one or this one? Vim Shneim Ke'echa Tevim, and if both of them are good, then all the more so. But the Pasuk in Keheles says that one should continue sowing seeds, which is a reference to having children, even if you had when you were younger, you should continue having children, even if you had a Zachar in the cave, which is not like our Mishnah. Another interpretation of this Pasuk, Reb Kiva, he says, Lama Tari Bialdusa, if someone learned Tari when he was younger, Yoma Tari Bezeknusa, he should learn Tari when he's older. Hayilei Tamidim Bialdusa, which is a similar parallel to having a wife and having children, which is learning Torah and having students. Hayol Tamidim Bialdusa, if he had students when he was younger, Yilo Tamidim Bizaknusa, he should have students when he's older. Shnema, again, like it learns that we learned that pasuk, Baboker Zra Zarecha Begamer, in the morning you should sow seeds, meaning you should have children, and in this context of Kiva, you should have students, but moreover, even in the evening when you're older, you should continue having students. Now, to prove this concept from Kiva himself, that he lived based on this halacha that he said, Amr, they said, Shneim Aser Elef Zugim Tamidim Hayilo Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva had 12,000 peers of students, meaning that we usually go with chavruses, so that 12,000 peers is 24,000 students that he had, Migvas Ad Antifaris, from that they were between these two cities that were these 24,000 students, they were maybe, let's say, one big yeshiva, V'kula Meisu B'Perek Echad, and they all died in one period. And this is what's known as the period where certain avelis that are accustomed in the period of Sfiris Ha'omer, and they shlei nogu kavod zel zeh, because they did not show due respect one to the other. V'hoya ha'olam shamim, and the world was desolate. In other words, Torah was forgotten. Ad shabayi Rebbe Kiva etzor besinah shebedarim v'shonlam. Until Rebbe Kiva came to the rabbis in the south, and he taught them, and they are Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yisi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Shemua, Veheim Hamidu Torah Yisrael. They are the ones that stood the Torah at that moment when it was being forgotten. These five great students went and perpetuated the Torah throughout the world. Now, Tana, we learned that Kula Mesu Mepesach Baratzeres, the period of when the students of Reb Kiva died, was again, as we said, the period of Sfiris Ha'ayma, which is from the time of Pesach until Shavuos. Amar Chama Bar Abba Veitem Reb Chiya Bar Oven, Kula Mesu Misero, they all died a bad death. Mahi, what's that? Rav Nachman, that's Askra, where Rashi tells him Masechta Shabbos, that's a type of illness that begins in the intestines and it concludes in the type of choking in the throat. That's how they died. Now, Amar Masna, he says, Halacha could be sure, not like our Mishnah. The Halacha is like Yeshua, that a person should always be involved in the midst of Pirvei Rivei, should always continue trying to have children, even if he already had the minimum quota of a Zachar and the cable. Now, related to this necessity of having a wife and having children, so Amar Tanchum Amar Chaniloi says, Kol Adam Shein LeIsha, any man that doesn't have a wife, He's shor b'lei simcha. He's dwelling without joy, b'lei bracha, without blessing, b'lei tev, without goodness. As he explains, b'lei simcha, how do you see that it's without joy? Just like it says the pasuk in Devarim, says b'samach ta'ato v'isacha, that you and your house, which is always a reference, a bias is isha, you and your house, you and your wife should rejoice, that we see rejoicing is with one's wife. B'lei bracha, without blessing. Just like it says the pasuk in Yecheskel, says lo haniach bracha el b'isacha, to leave blessing to your house, which again, Beisach is always a reference to Isha, that's where a person gets blessing. It's in his house, meaning it's through his wife. And B'lei Taiva, he's dwelling without goodness. So like it says a Pasuk, in Bereishis, Le Taiva Yes Adam Levadi, it's not good for a person to be alone, meaning that a person is in a state of Le Taiva when he's by himself. He doesn't have goodness without a wife. But Merav Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said in the West, they said, moreover, he's B'lei Taiva without Taira, and B'lei Chaim without a wall. As the Gemara explains, Blei Taira, the Chselik says, the Pasuk in Iyev, it says, Ha'im ein ezrasi bi, that if it is that I don't have my help with me, which that's a reference to a person's wife, as it says in Bereishis, that a woman is ezer kenegdai, the help opposite him. So if I don't have my help, then v'sushia nitcha mimeni, then my wisdom has been rejected from me, meaning that it doesn't have Taira. And as Rashi explains, the reason is because he doesn't have anyone to help him out with all his chores, all the things he has to take care of. And therefore, his Torah gets forgotten. He's without Torah because he doesn't have someone to help him out. Moreover, he's b'lei chaim. He's without a wall that surrounds and protecting him. The Chselik says, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Nekeva the Seva of Gavr, that the female surrounds the male. She protects him from the elements out there. Now, Rav Ba'ula Amr, he says, b'lei shalom, a person that's without a wife dwells without peace. The Chselik says, the Pasuk in Iyev, Vedata, you will know, ki shalom, because when do you have peace? Oyalecha, when you have your tent. In other words, when you have a tent, and a reference of a oil is a person's wife, like we quoted previously, shuv lechem lo lechem, Hashem told the Jewish people, return to your tents, which was a euphemism to return to be intimate with their wives. So therefore we see that oil is a reference to a person's wife. That's when a person has ki shalom. And then that you will visit your abode, and you won't be lacking, you won't be missing anything. That's a person has shalom, completion and peace, only when he has oyalacha, when he has a wife. Another interpretation that Pasuk, the Gemara says, Amri b'shub ben Levi, says, Kol yedeya b'ishto yishi yireis shemayim. If a person knows regarding his wife, that she's God-fearing, and he doesn't have matter relations with her in the time of Aina, which is designated times that he's supposed to, Nikr Chayte is called a sinner. Shlomek says in that pasuk we quoted, that you will know that there's peace in your tent. Now, where Rashi says this interpretation of Shalom is that she's Shlema, your Oihel, which is a reference to the wife, is Shlema, that she's complete in your Shemayim. And then only if Ufakad Nevecha, where the term of Pekida is a reference to Tashmish, to marital relations, then Beloi Sechta, then you won't be sin. But if she's Shlem in Yerushimayim, and you don't do Ufakad Nevecha, then you'll be considered a sinner. Another interpretation is Pasuk Gemara says, V'amir B'shum Alevi, Chayv Adam Lifkad Es Ishta, a person has to have relations with his wife, B'shoshu Yetz L'Lerch, when he's leaving on a journey. And the reason is because at that moment is actually when the wife's desire for her husband gets increased. Like it says in the Pasuk, we quoted, V'yadat k'shom alecha v'gayim, that you should know that to have peace in your tent, then you'll have to have levakata de nevecha. And then that's again, because when a person is going away, then there's desire for his wife, then he'll have peace, and therefore there's an obligation, because a person has an obligation of having shalom in his bais. Now that the Gemara asks, ha'mahacha nafka, do we really learn that halacha from here? But Mahasim Nafki, we learn from a pasuk in Bereishis, says that the curse to Chava because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas was Vel Ishech Tishukasech, and that to your man will be given over your desire, which that teaches Malamet Shor Isha Mishtekekes Al Baila, that a woman desires her husband B'Shoshu Yitzel Derech, especially so when he leaves on a journey, and therefore there's the obligation of the man fulfilling his wife's needs, and therefore we know from Ishach Tishukasach, that he has to go ahead and fulfill that need when he's living on the journey. So what do we need this source of Rabbi Shub ben Levi? So that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Lo Nitzuchu, we need this source of Rabbi Shub ben Levi from this pasuk in Sefer Iyev, Ela Samach Levesta, to teach an additional chiddush, that even if it's near the time when she normally gets her vest, which literally means the period when she has the time when she normally menstruates, where although the Rabbanan tells him in Sefer Shavuos that a person has to separate from his wife, samach levesto. However, here, in spite of that, since he's leaving on a long journey, then he goes ahead and he has tashmish, even if it's samach levesto, the time when she's expecting her dam nida. So that the Gemara has to become on how much is what we call samach levesta. Amar Rava, that's oina, that's a period. In other words, if she normally sees it during the daytime, then that whole period of day becomes forbidden. If she normally sees it at night, so that whole night period becomes forbidden. But however, regarding this time when he's leaving on the journey, even if it's in that oina, which is samach levesta, he can go ahead and have tashmish at that time. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies, when did we say that he's obligated to have relations with her when he's leaving on the journey? That's when he's going with Dvar HaRishus, when he's going on an optional journey. Aval Dvar Mitzvah, when he's going on a mitzvah journey, then not. And the reason is because Mitradi, which is two interpretations in Rashi, either because then he's going to become, either because he's Mitrad, he's busy with the mitzvah that he's doing, so therefore he's oisig in that mitzvah, he doesn't have to go ahead and do the mitzvah of relations with his wife. Or another interpretation Rashi says, because actually mitrati means to say he's going to get caught up in the act of relations with his wife, and he's going to nullify the mitzvah that he has to go on that trip, and therefore, regarding either interpretation, is that he doesn't have to go ahead and have tashmish if he's going on the mitzvah journey. Now, regarding that pasuk that we quoted in Eiv, the Gemara brings another halacha related to this. If someone loves his wife as much as his own self, now, and he honors her actually more than himself, as Rashi says, because a woman's disgrace is harsher than a man, and therefore she needs more respect than a male needs. So he has to honor her more than himself. Now, moreover, and he leads his sons and daughters on the straight path, and then he marries them off at the time of when they become the age of marriageable age, and he doesn't leave them for an older time. Regarding such a person, it says, that you will know that there will be peace in your house. A person that does these things will have shalom, what's called shalom bayis. He'll have all these things by loving his wife as much himself, honoring her more than himself, leading his children in the proper path, and marrying them off in the appropriate marriageable age. He'll have the fulfillment of that pasuk. Similar type of halacha, the Gemara says, someone loves his neighbors, the makarvis krev, and he brings nearer his relatives, and he marries his sister's daughter. Where in Talmudic times, that was something that was encouraged, and the reason is because a person's relationships are dearer to his sister more than his brothers. Now, because of that, he'll endear his wife, if it's his sister who he likes a lot, and it's her daughter, all the more so he's going to have a very good relationship with this wife. And on that, the Gemara continues the topic, Samach Gimel and Aleph. And moreover, v'hamalva sela lo'oni b'shas dochke, if someone lends money to a poor person at the time when he's having a difficult financial constraints, love a cause of emer, regarding such a person, says the pasuk in Yeshaya, us tikra, then such a person calls out, v'hashem yan, Hashem will answer him, teshava, he screams out, v'yem hineni, Hashem says, here I am, Hashem is there to listen to that person because he fulfills all those obligations, as Rashi proves, where the pasuk beforehand tells us, kisira ara mechisisai, where if you see a person that's naked and you cover him, where that's the reference of a doichik of the ani, where the poor person doesn't have even clothing. And it also says, tesalem, that one should not turn a blind eye from one's flesh, which means to say a person's relatives who are close, a person's neighbors who he's close to, which they're just like his relatives. Actually, there's a pasuk that says, toib shachin karev me'ach rachik. And also he brings his relatives closer, where we said mekarev is karev, and he marries his daughters, his sister's daughter, which that all enters the category of Mitzvah Chal Tesalem. That's what the Pesukim over here conclude, that Az Tikra, Vashem Yana, Tishava, V'yemer Hineni.